do that.
Winston City Council, January
21st, 2025.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to City Council. I'll stand and say pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We'll have roll call. Councillor White?
Here.
Councillor Cunningham?
Here.
Councillor Wiggins?
Here.
Councillor Hyde?
Here.
And Mayor Chris Knudsen? Here. Adjustments to the agenda?
None, Your Honor.
None. Perfect. Consent calendar. Minutes for January 6th. Has everybody had a chance to read?
I move that we approve the minutes from January 6th.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. Okay. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anybody like to talk? Reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Mr. McIntosh, Economic Development.
Thank you, Mayor, members of Council, members of the audience. Councillor Wiggins was not able to attend, so I'll fill you in on the meeting. It was fairly brief. We did introduce our new planner, of course. The mayor did grace the board with her presence, made an introduction. We appreciate that. In addition to that, there was a small community development report that we went over. We can't necessarily dare unpack all of that now. We do have a planning commissioner present, and you are the appellant body in case that application gets appealed. We also did have essentially a chamber report. We received the Chamber of Commerce bylaws. They have to have those in place in order to become an official chamber. They have to have bylaws. The reason they were forwarded to us is because we've kind of locked arms with them on this, and we are checking with our city attorney to make sure that they are consistent so that they can apply for the national chamber as well and enjoy the additional resources that go along with that. So that is essentially encapsulates the meeting. Happy to take any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? It was a good meeting. Okay, thank you, sir. Park Board, Dory White.
Well, there was a lot of discussion and also reporting on number one, I would say, was probably the water area down there for the play field. And that was discussed. They'd like one in Sutherland, but there's too many hoops to jump through. And I think that they understood that. The other thing was the replacement of the carpet in the community center, which was discussed, and it depends on how much we have in the treasure to complete those. But the idea was, I thought was very good. They're going to put the carpet just where the people are seated, and then when they come out of the kitchen and around and where they serve the food, we'll put some laminate, which is easier to clean up, and I thought that was great. They also had a student ambassador, which Melissa said she would give us a candidate, which will be at the next meeting, not this one. And then there was two park board applications that had to be filled. We got one, Onika. She made the motion to accept Rihanna's application. And then Jack seconded the motion, and Ernest wasn't there, and he's the other person. so we'll have to wait and see if he fills out the application. And then that will, of course, be done at the next meeting, too. They also talked about, and seeing as how I'm kind of handicapped at times, I have to agree, if they would please adjust the door into the restrooms at the Civic Center, because if you have a walker and you're trying to get in the door, then that tension's hard. And I think they're going to correct that, so that was tabled. And I think that's about all. The Riverbank, I already discussed that. And they also discussed the 10% price increase. No one had anything to say about that. It was kind of quiet, so that's good. And I think that's about it.
Does anybody have any questions? On the carpet, is the carpet the cheap, the most inexpensive way to go versus a hardwood floor that's lifetime waterproof? Is there a reason for the carpet?
That's a good question too, Mayor, by the way. So yeah, we actually talked about concrete. We talked about vinyl, luxury vinyl. We talked about square tiles. We talked about tiles, all kinds of different things. And we kind of reverted back to the fact that it is just the warming fact of carpet, for one thing. And it is the use of the building itself. It helps keep the sound down. It kind of helps with the noise, particularly when we have another rentals at each site.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of kicked that around and kind of landed on the squares. The squares being also the fact that they can be interchangeable, replaced. And we all know at the community center we get a lot of activity up there, so the fact that we can replace those 24x24 if it fails, we like that idea. Yeah, so we started on the full rolled carpet like was there now, but once again it comes down to how much money we're probably, we got some of that ARPA monies that was designated for the community center, $54,000 total. Out of that we've already purchased the HVAC unit for the roof for close to 17, I believe. No quote, no the number. But so we've already replaced the HVAC that's failed. We have other ones that are probably on their last legs. Just throwing it out there, whoever you brought it up. But so out of that money, we're going to do the carpet and hopefully the linoleum, depending if we come on a budget. And then the projector, you can't see it anymore. It's old.
Yeah.
We get a lot of complaints with the Bluetooth and looking up to it. So the goal is going to get that done too, out of that remainder of monies.
Oh, perfect.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I've been up there when the events have happened and seen the carpet and thought, oh my God, I'm so glad I don't have to clean it up. But, knowing it has to be and thinking that the floors, like when my dog got sick this morning, if I had wood floors, I wouldn't care anymore.
And those little robot things that run around, we talked about those too, right? You plug them in and they run off at 2 in the morning and go around vacuuming with the iRobot, whatever you call them. Little
robot.
Yeah,
Roomba.
It's good for a big space. Okay, are there any other comments or questions? Okay, Dory, thank you so much. Department reports, administration.
Mayor, members of council, good evening, members of the audience again. So a couple things for you. Real quick, I attended the Winston Dillard and Douglas Fire District 2 board meeting yesterday evening. It was at 5:30. The reason is we had a resolution on there, or the board had a resolution, to entertain approval of our two projects, the remodel of this room and the construction and completion of the police evidence room. So just a reminder, the Urban Renewal District or program was created in 2006. And it was done so with the understanding that there would be a specific district line drawn around it, which is most of your commercial area, those types of areas. The purpose, the main purpose, is to get rid of blight, to use those funds. But all the taxing districts, fire, school, all had to agree because it's going to carve out a little bit in the amount of 48 or 68 cents per thousand from everybody. So we've had that program for a lot of years. The city really hasn't necessarily ventured in that direction, but these projects are such a dire need It's really an act of necessity. So I offered a presentation to the board with the help of Rock Bullock, the police chief. It does a great job, has great communication with the city. Very grateful for him pushing that along on the agenda. It was approved with a vote. There was one, I think, dissenting vote, but we reached out to that individual and offered to answer any questions. We opened up a question and answer session to it, and there was no questions. But it was approved. So that constitutes the school and the fire district approving our projects, which is a statutory requirement as of 2018. So we've carried that out, and so now the evidence room will be moving forward with the continual engineering and the plans, which is needed for a bid package. It's big enough of an expense that we have to do a bid package, and we have to bid that out, get contractors bidding on it. This room, we will be approaching the school to look at their woodshop class can construct a dais, as we discussed, and the rest will be flushed through the contractor process through Public Works, with the help of Public Works. So just wanted to provide an update on that. Any questions? The other thing I had, as you know, just as a general topic of discussion, but an important one, is there's deficiencies in everywhere, in all areas of our budget. Between the parks, the sewer, the streets, public safety, all of those things, there's no shortage of projects. And really, I think it's imperative and a recommendation from staff that we continue to try to look at all revenue sources that might be available. One of those, and the community's blown hot and cold with this in the past, has been the permittance of recreational marijuana dispensaries within the corporate limits. The reason I bring this up is that I think it merits a further discussion because it is a revenue source that we are not really taking advantage of. I did a little research that I want to provide to you. Now, there is a history on this. In 2016, when Measure 91 was approved at the state level to allow the program, we put it to the ballot for a vote. The citizens voted no, right? We remember that. Then, some years later, a marijuana task force was created. There were some investigative measures that was done to look at the viability of the program, and it was put to the ballot again, only there was two measures put over. Do you want to allow it, and do you want to tax it? The tax passed, but the permittance failed, right? So that's, we had to codify part of it, but not all of it. So today, you have two cities that are in close proximity to the city of Winston. That's Roseburg and Myrtle Creek that both allow it. So essentially, the folks that want to partake in that amenity, they will go to those locations. They will essentially come back if they live here local. Some additional research for you is I pulled together some data from some different cities. Here are the revenues that are received from taxing the programs in other cities. Brookings, $25,000 a year in revenues. Vinita, $35,000. Coquille, $55,000. Reedsport, $65,000. Myrtle Creek, $75,000. Seaside, $95,000. That's an average of $58,000 of revenues. So that's some raw data for you. And it's an important thing to look at, I think, because we have to look for all the revenue sources that we can. So essentially, we want to open that up for a discussion. The vote in the past has been an advisory vote. The statutory rules allow you to pass by virtue of resolution allowing the program to take place in the city and what kind of buffers you want to do. There's the state minimum buffers from the Oregon Liquor Commission Control, which is OLCC, and it's 500 feet from a school. It's 200 from daycares and those types of things. It looks specifically. When we had our original task force, we did additional buffers. The buffers essentially omitted the entire city and all the commercial areas. If you did the state minimums, then it does open up a significant amount of commercial area. Even if you did do a buffer between specific dispensaries, meaning 1,000 feet, so you don't allow the inundation of dispensaries to come in, a ton of them. So with that, that's something that I think merits further discussion.
What kind of police action have you had did they report?
So I had conversations with four cities. The other cities I had to look up on their website for their actual budget documents to extract the information. And I asked the question, was there any increased police activity, those types of things. The consensus was not to the city manager's knowledge. There wasn't anything in addition in that regard.
None of them.
That's the information I received. The city managers I talked to directly was Reedsport, Coquille, Brookings, and Seaside.
How far is the next community to Seaside that has a dispensary? Wondering why theirs is higher than everywhere else. Wondering if there's further distance. Like, we're in between Roseburg and Myrtle Creek and Coquille. All three have one.
Well, Seaside's going to inherently be higher with everything because it's one of those northwestern coastal cities that's essentially horizontal to Portland. So when people travel over, they're going over there. And so when we looked at Seaside, it's a comparable population like the rest of these cities we looked at. Mm-hmm. But between compensating their employees and everything is up there.
Well, what's interesting about Seaside, if I can jump in here for a second. I was talking to when we had our last LLC conference, I was talking to the mayor. Okay? And their URA budget is in the millions. And that's how they do a lot of it, because it is a tourist center. Okay? So that basically then that would possibly skew the increase in the purchases of marijuana in the city. Even though the city population is relatively ours, being a tourist center and a convention center as it is, that could boost the sales. Now, if you take a look at Myrtle Creek, that's really the one that would be most interesting, because I think they came in at what, 75,000?
75,000.
75,000. And that is not a tourist center, and it is close to us, and it has a smaller population than Winston. So, you know, I think those two dichotomies makes it sound kind of interesting.
There's
a game from when they first started, I believe it was in the 49,000 or something, it was way low. And just in the time when they first got it up to now, how many people are coming in because they know it's there?
Mm-hmm.
And I voted for the people, but at this point we don't have enough money to keep the city going, and they're probably going to be mad at me, but if we put that up for a vote,
I think
we'll vote for it.
As you know, I know that in my business, we provide transportation for people in our community to drive to Roseburg and back. And plus what they're spending there. And it's a lot of money that can be kept here in our community. It's roads that can be built. It's rooms that can be redone.
Sewers that can be done.
And it's money. It's money that's there for the taking. We just have to make it available. And we have a place now that is not around any schools, any child care, anything other that would be available.
Well, I think we marked it out once before. There was only about one place that we could put one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? That's what I remember. There was only, so we can't have one in every corner.
No, you don't want one in every corner.
No.
The program will be instituted in such a fashion that the city doesn't get inundated with new dispensaries, because there's a buffer in between them.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's your buffers that are viable to match OLCC to open up some commercial area. This does come with the caveat, council and mayor, and I appreciate you fleshing this out with me, that some of these cities did an additional local tax on it. And you can go up clear up to 7%, and Brookings pulls in $130,000 on their independent local tax on doing that. So,
and we can do that?
You can hit it on both sides if you feel inclined. But that one, that's a tax that does require a ballot measure.
First of all, you know, my personal opinion is I think it's a great idea. The part that I have concerns about, and I'm not saying yes or no, just a concern, is that on the ballot that we had last time, I happened to be on that advisory board, okay? when we had the second resolution on that, it was defeated 62-38. And if you take a look at the demographics of the city of Winston, we have a high retired population. Okay, and that's probably we're making an assumption on. I don't like usually to do that. But that is probably where the majority of the votes came in, too. Okay? And I would be somewhat concerned. We'd have to give this an awful lot of thought because it could, if you got a spread between 62% and 38%, that's significant. Okay? And all I'm saying is that we need to approach this with utmost caution because of the percentage difference between the yay and the nays. Don't get me wrong, I think it's a great idea. Okay. I'm just pointing out some factual information.
Yeah, there is some inherent challenges in that regard, especially with previous historical votes. The only thing that staff can declare is that it's a viable revenue source, which we sorely need to explore. It's up to the council to decide if you want to actually allow the validity of that platform.
I think it's our responsibility to gather and bring in as many resources as we can to help our citizens be able to have the things that they need to make our city viable. And this is a resource that's there for the taking that we've lost out on money for 10 years, however many years it's been. I know that there's a lot of people that are against it, but then again, there's a lot of people that are for it.
Not as many as are against it.
I think if everybody voted it, we would be really surprised, but since everybody doesn't vote, I don't know. There was 576 people that did not vote for mayor. 576 people that didn't vote for either one of us. What does that say?
Well, basically what it says is that they didn't have a decision, say in the decision. Okay? So if you don't vote, you don't make a decision on it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying is that I think workshops would be in order on this to really study this in depth and give that workshops as much publication as absolutely possible to get as many people there as we possibly can.
The council has essentially three actionable items and path forward. The first item would be to do such a thing, a workshop, and then eventually entertain a resolution to just allow those dispensaries. You can do that. The second, pathway you could go down is you could do a public hearing coupled with a resolution allowing citizens a platform to speak for or against those types of things, or you could do what you've traditionally done and put it out for an advisory vote on the next available ballot.
Which wouldn't be until October.
You said so many people didn't vote, which you're right. Mm-hmm. But the ones that did vote, the distance between the two when we let them vote for it, which I was for, but when it came up that they didn't care about how much money the city needed, they just didn't. I had phone calls, and this one woman said, well, we don't want to be known as a crack place. Okay. And I got several calls on the same order. Okay. Then when they did the vote, of course, they came out because we let it go to them. And when I had to say something, I verbally said, and it's in the record, that I was for having it, but it was the population, they ruled. And I said, I will vote what you want, but I really think we need it for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel that way, but right now, I don't want to go through the same thing again, because I'm afraid that if you put it out there, the ones that are against it, those 500 that don't vote.
Oh, and there's thousands that didn't vote. But what I'm trying to say, we need information. We need correct information. Having a dispensary does not make us a crack city. That's ridiculous. Going into a dispensary and seeing what they do and what they're like.
I went into it.
I know, aren't they wonderful?
I went all the way through there because I had never been in one.
And it's, you don't have people sitting out front smoking joints. You don't have them sitting in your cars smoking joints. You don't have any of that. You don't have people sitting outside the bar drinking and beating people up. That's, you know, we've got a couple of those going on. You don't have that happen outside of a dispensary. You don't have the police calls to a dispensary. You don't have that kind of action.
No, and it's different things, not just to get high. And that's what surprised me when I got in there. And I went to to more than one because I had never been there, so are they all the same? And yeah, there's different things. I always thought, I'm sorry, uneducated, I thought that they went in there to get high. That's what the stuff was. Well, it's not.
No. No.
Ignorant question. What's the store down here? I thought that was a
smoke place. Just smoke.
So how many citizens?
That's a vape.
How many citizens are gonna drive by that? Ignorant as I am, thinking that's a marijuana dispensary.
The vape store?
I probably going to see.
So I think you're gonna have more full citizens that are gonna continue to drive by thinking that's a dispensary.
How
far
is that from the school?
It's right next door to the subway.
My
point being is
more than
you drive by and you see the green
well,
sign.
Well, I know. I live down there.
I've made the assumption that's what it was.
It's more than 1,000 feet from a govern.
It's way more than 1,000.
Yeah.
But anyway, why don't we just put that to some workshops initially and get all the information we can.
I actually voted for the dispensary myself, but I'm unwilling to go against the big vote against it for the city because we are representatives of the city.
Yes.
Though we are individually, we may vote for it ourselves, but we are representatives of the city.
Exactly correct. We do represent the citizens of the city.
So I.
Jerry.
Get up.
No, don't listen to her. Terry Fink, 1100 Abraham Avenue.
Hi,
Terry. Hi. Thomas said something really interesting to me about possibly having a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second option. Would it be possible, I don't know how healthy the attendance is at the goal setting that's going to be on February 15th, could that be something, at least the prospect on the agenda, that might be at least broached to the public that does show? Because if it's going to be a debated topic, the word will get out from the people that show.
I expect it to be out by tomorrow.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if that couldn't help at least jumpstart prior to workshops and then... forgive this very brash statement. It's not like, I know that we need the resources, but it's not like cramming a resolution down the citizens' throats. So there is at least a public forum provided.
That would give
you your input.
Yeah.
And if the majority goes along with that, then there's your resolution. You wouldn't need to put it on the ballot, except unless you want to tax it. I guess.
That's more or less what we did before.
Which, yeah.
Well, then we didn't do it
right. But you didn't do a fact-finding with the public
that
I'm aware of.
Well, yes, there was
a
public meeting.
Was there?
Yeah, there was a public meeting.
I was there. It was very well attended. But there was a public meeting, and then it went out for the vote, and we voted no for the dispensary and yes for the tax.
Yes.
Okay. So
thank you,
Terry. Can we do that, Mr.
Certainly. Time? Yeah. At our next meeting, we can certainly. This will just kind of be a snowball to where we can talk about it more and more, and try to extract more data in terms of just short of paying to do a professional study. What staff is able to do is keep extracting information from other cities that we've talked to and evolve that conversation and look at not just the revenues, but look at other things.
To know the difference between a dispensary and a bar. I'd like to see how much police action goes on.
to do
a lot of times, police actions happen with that.
Right. Maybe, but still, inquiring.
I see a lot of the emergency room.
Yeah.
I have another question, too, that was brought up about our bed and breakfast being taxed. Has anyone heard that? Because they don't pay any tax.
It's a falls under the transient room tax. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Cindy's done a great job of just kind of going out and finding these independent vacation rentals, and we are collecting more revenues because of that. So, special appreciation for her. We were. It's really an honor system program. They fill out what their gross is, 7%, and they submit something along with a check, and that's what the program is in cities.
Have they been doing it?
Well, the RV park over there that was doing it some years back has stopped with the declaration that none of them are 29 days or less, but we have been getting TRT funding from these different vacation rentals in different increments.
How many bed and breakfasts do we have in our area besides the Winston House?
That business license would be what kicks it in.
Yeah, I don't have a raw number, but we can get that for you.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were discussing about the having it at the goal meeting, I would suggest that we just broad stroke that. And then second of all is maybe broad stroke also too about the sewers.
It was my understanding, Counselor, we were going to do that at the February 3rd meeting, which would be our goal setting, city goal setting meeting would be February 15th. That's a Saturday.
Right, but it still doesn't make any difference. Bringing it up in broad stroke, you know.
But that's what we're doing on the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know it, but it may have a different set of people there.
It's up to staff what we have time to put on there.
The goal setting session is a community wide and essentially works as a workshop. And really, statutorily, the only thing that you can address on a workshop are the things that are specifically put on the agenda. Mm-hmm. So the workshops are orchestrated that way. Our meeting on February 3rd, we are going to be going over chamber contract details and the Main Street program. Mm-hmm. That could be a regular council meeting, and with that presentation embedded in, and we can soft pedal, if you will,
that's
some information
about.
On
that. Yeah,
certainly.
Not going into detail, but just putting something out there that something will be coming down the pipe.
Great. Thank you. We will carry that forward.
Any questions? Any other things to say? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. McIntosh. Old business discussion / presentation of our sewer rates. Yay. Mr. McIntosh and Andy.
Whoever wants to go first.
Do we dim the lights?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get us all.
Yes, indeed. I think we'll get these front ones first.
Yeah.
Everyone see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Slideshow up above.
Can you guys in the back see it? Okay.
Slideshow.
All right.
And from the beginning. There you go. There we go. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. This is the principal kind of nucleus that we have for the meeting this evening. We just kind of want to go through the original presentation that was done by Sean Moore and Medea Developments on our wastewater rate study. This was an official study that was done, and it was done by virtue of the information we had on inspecting this with Public Works information that was filtered to him. You can back that up, sorry. And the data that was received from the previous SDC study, System Development Charge study on sewer fees and those types of things, and studying the various comparable cities. So the required mechanism on how to process this, it's how it was done, and we have the study, we have the data, and that's what justifies how to move forward. It gives you your blueprint. It tells you how do we need to move forward in terms of our rates. Really important to look at because we can't necessarily go off the cuff on this. Some of the driving factors, of course, were the condition of the pipes. Bad condition. As a matter of fact, we have put up, and I don't even think that map is big enough. The sewer map that our engineers did, where they showcased all of the failing pipes in red. As you can see, you throw a dart at that thing, you're likely to hit one. Mm-hmm. A lot of the eastern side, a lot of that Abraham area that we're trying to address. And it's just a real detriment that way. So this presentation, just so you know, was scaled back and was crafted for the presentation today. We took his and we just kind of watered it down and made it very more straightforward to just centralize on the key points we want to take away for you today. Because some of you, it's a refresher. You went through this, but we have, with a new mayor and a new council member, we want you to be able to see this data. So, significant portion of Winston collection system at or near useful life. That was keyed in. Sufficient funding to stay ahead of needed improvements. Isn't that the whole thing? You're teetering back and forth between a pipe that's going to fail, and you got to do emergency services, and it costing way more because you're at the being held hostage by contractors. Or it's so it's that reactionary part, or it's the preventative avenue we want to go down. We make sure they don't fail. We address them based on the severe condition they're in before they fail. So, that's the whole point of this. Go ahead. One of the things I like seeing to jump in here anytime, you guys. So, I'm sure you all know who these individuals are, but Andy being Public Works, and then Megan, our foreman. And then we have Chris here from the plant, because between our team here, this is our A team that covers all things wastewater. Whether it's a conveyance system or where it ends up down at the plant, we've got our experts here to help. One of the things we like that Scene did is he put our community center project in here, the roof. This is a good example of deferred maintenance. You wait. Okay, let's wait because we don't have the money, or let's wait because we got other projects, or we wait for whatever reason. And you wait and you wait, and it costs more later. And it's more has more of a propensity to fail and give you fits that way. So this project, we had a budget up into the $230,000 range. Don't quote me on that. The bid that the lowest bid came through at $211,000. We had a couple change orders here or there, so it might have been a little more. But if we would have done it sooner, it wouldn't have been that much, right? It would have been cheaper. So deferred maintenance gets you. And that's what we've been doing. Not just with replacing those pipes, but with our fees for a lot of years until just recently the council making kind of the painstaking decisions to make those adjustments.
Well, and if I could jump in here for just a second and talk about deferred maintenance. Remember we had that bad break on Oak Street and just with about 200 feet, Andy?
A little over, it's close to $300 feet. Yeah, close to 300 feet.
So you're talking at big bucks here, when it's $140,000 for 100 or 200 feet. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is. And we got some that don't want to jump ahead, but it's approaching catastrophic. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly why we're having this conversation. That's a good example. That thing failed. We had to do bypass pumping. We had to just the full meal deal.
And I'm talking like right now.
Go ahead. So the types of problems, obviously you hear this term I&I, right? It's inflow and infiltration. That's what that is. So sewer pipes are for wastewater. That's it. But they get so old and cracked and disjointed and deficient that you during rain events you get rainwater exposed into there. Then it gets in there and it gets back to the and then we got to treat that too. So we get higher levels of the plant, we get everything exacerbated. So if we got good pipes, you don't get any I&I. That's what you want. So that's one of the big contributors on this. So structural pipeline problems, risk of collapse, overflows and backups, emergency work. Next slide. And here, we might want to live on this one for a second because this is just really the visual detriment. These are pipes here in your backyard in Winston, right? So
good. Or above those were located.
Where these are located?
Yeah.
I don't personally.
They're off of Thompson, they're Gregory. Some of those we've already addressed, but we wanted to show, you know, when we see these things, like that bottom right one, Some of these we've addressed with our, some of our projects. Some have been rolled into it, but these are examples of what we find when we do our inspections. And when Megan has the guys go out and run the camera down and we run across things, right? So we document them. Megan reviews the videos, looks at the information, and then creates kind of a priority. Hey, this one, hey, this one's number four rated, let's say. And then the guys will go out and look, for example, just use the one on the bottom left. Well, guess what? The one on the other side was now that, no. So that's what happens. It becomes difficult to, because you start running into problem after problem. So the one you thought was really bad, well, not that bad actually, compared to the hole in the pipe, right? Or really, it's not that bad compared to the one over here by snow that runs across the road that's concrete that we're getting rocks and holes into, right? That are going to our new pump station. Not that bad as the one over here that's going to off of Parkway Pump Station where we got manholes that are actually falling apart and being infiltrated with dirt and soil that is from our main pump station that picks up every bit of sewage that leaves Parkway that heads to the treatment point on that long red line. So that's the world we live in, right? And the fact of the matter is there's only so much monies and things you can do. So what we've done is we went out, we have got a really good handle on the system. That map up there, by the way, is not completed. There's more red that can be added to that. But it comes to a point of, okay, here's where we're at. And there's where we're at now. I think the council's got a good handle on it. I believe it's been inundated enough, and the community's been inundated enough with issues of sewer. I think probably everybody, some of you have had tours of the treatment of the plant and things like that. Got a good handle on the collection system, what it's about. I don't think there's really been any questions of what the collection system is. I think they've been answered. And if not, I believe the questions can be asked and answered tonight. But as long as everybody has the handle of the collection system, the importance of the collection system, and our job as staff is to grab this tiger by the tail. And that's what it is. That's what we're looking at. You do whatever you do to kind of put your head around it because there's a lot to it and it can overwhelm staff.
One of the questions that may be asked by anybody that for this is, well, why didn't you notice it before? Well, we didn't notice it before because we did not have the equipment to do it.
That's right.
Okay, and so this has been put off for years and years and years because prior councils and that did not know the extent. It wasn't until we were able to, thanks to Andy and Megan, is to get the proper equipment to get down into the sewers to find out what the problems are. So basically what we're doing is we're looking up, picking up 50 years of non-work. Okay, so that puts it on the council here and also on the city.
I'm gonna make a little comment here, but that's not quite true. We did know, and we did rent cameras, and we did look at these things, and we did set it up so that the sewer rates would go up every year to be able to take care of all of this stuff. And after I was off of council, it was rejected and taken down. Right. This isn't something that's brand new. This is something we've known about for years.
But we didn't know the depth of it until
They did at some point. Yes,
I remember
we
that.
Did.
But not we, all, because they couldn't get into all of them until they got the new equipment.
But I remember Andy renting cameras in a truck and doing this. This was part of his job. Since we've got our own and Megan mm-hmm. is doing it, yes, it's a little bit more in depth. But this isn't something that just popped up out of somewhere and that we're having to deal with today. This is something that's been building and now is critical.
Then
and
why,
we need to take
why
care.
Why wasn't it corrected before then?
It was. It was not only corrected at the time with what funds that they had, we had it set up so that it would go up a minimum of every year so that the money would be able to be set aside to fix more critical stuff instead of waiting for it to be critical hazard, got to do it right now. And it was stopped.
It was stopped in March of 2015. That's right. There is a history here.
You know, why wasn't it picked up and done after that? I can't say.
Well, that's not the question. That wasn't the point.
What is the point?
The point was simply that we did not have the mechanism to get to it in depth to find out what the true nature of the problems was and the extent of the problem. Because we were renting the, I can remember renting the equipment, but you only could rent it for so long. Is that not correct?
It's like anything, you know, and no, don't, please don't take this, but that's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
We could say, or I could talk about what could have, what it should have.
Yeah.
I'm so, forgive me, I don't really care. Here's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I wanted, our job is to bring this forward and to deal with it.
Right.
And I
that's
I
where we're at.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Same here.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
No, don't, so. Yeah, don't take that wrong.
I think we're all on the same page in terms of what we're looking at here, and that is any one of these can end up like another Oak Street. All you really,
I said, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, any one of them can end up like another Oak Street. We do have more information. All you need to do for that to happen is nothing. I mean, essentially, and there was a period of time, and Andy's right. Historically, it's irrelevant now. This is a situation, we all have this tall order ahead of us. But having that system has really given us a good purview. As you can see, there's deficiencies in every direction. It's root intrusion. It's disjointed pipes. It's deficient pipes that are just falling apart because they're so old and the condition of them. They're essentially becoming holes in the ground. And that's tall order falls on the council that we see here today, regardless of past decisions.
Asbestos present a DEQ problem?
It can once you expose it and bring it to the surface. DEQ is actually looking at changing some of their requirements now of when you, because you can get away with that by bursting, which we've.
Bursting, yeah.
But now they're actually looking at changing that to where you have to bring that above ground too, and or qualify that particular area as a potentially contaminated area. It's got to be marked, flagged, mapped. So there's other things. Right now that's not in play, but in the future I'm sure it will.
Hurry and get over bursting.
Yeah.
And that could, increase the cost even further.
Look at our siphon project, 20
yes.
some things to go through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're worried about fish and things, which are great, but we didn't need to worry about getting our sewer across the tree plant so it can be treated and not create an environmental hazard beyond our, anyway.
Well, streams.
There's a process to this, as you would suspect. We have, throughout the course of the past months and years, we've tried to identify, you know, what the projects are. As part of this rate study, there's a 5-year capital improvement program, or what are the projects that are severe enough that we need to do in the next 5 years. That's what's really important, because that's what you craft and move forward with your rate adjustments on. You anchor that on what does that 5 years look like. What are the, if you were in emergency rooms, you were submitting the high severity cases first, right? So what's got trouble breathing or broken arm or, you know, those types
right.
of things. And these pipes, over the course of the next 5 years, or these projects, Andy could talk about it a little bit, are some of the projects that have been identified in order to get those addressed that really need to happen. We really need to find some way of moving forward on that community. So Edgewood Mainline Extension, we've talked about this a little bit. We did our, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, is it Edgewood into the city and all on sewer now?
It's in the city, but it's not on sewer.
Not on sewer. We don't have a main line down there. A lot of septics and still functioning septics. But
so once they aren't functionable, then they have to come in and go onto the sewer line?
Technically.
If we got a main line within 300 feet, then yes. If we don't, then we have to allow them to repair because they still need sewer.
Because the workaround of this is the city has an ordinance that allows step systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not in favor of step systems because they're added costs and whatnot. But anyway, that being said, so now we're potentially looking at a bunch of step systems with a line that runs down Edgewood. And that's not the way to go. You're saving... We're saving people monies and time by, and Alan has one, and he's not going to argue this. If you can go gravity, go gravity.
Yeah, that's.
So there's where, but that's something we need to do.
The other thing on that too, Mayor, is that we have islands down there that's under mm-hmm. annexation, and that becomes effective what next year?
The June.
In
this June is
this
the 3-year
June
delayed.
Year.
execution, yeah.
For all of those islands, they're still not in the city.
We had 9 of them that we did an island annexation process under ORS 222, I think it's 0.750. We flushed that out about 2.5 years ago, and we took, you know, 9 properties that met the island definition. Mm-hmm. And we filed it, went through the public hearings, and finished that. If it's residential, it's delayed for 3 years, but no more than 10. The city chose to do 3. So 3 years is up. And a couple of those have came in, because if you sell the property, then it comes in right away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got like 4 or 5 of them down there, Edgewood.
Yeah, I thought that was something that was attempted years ago, the island thing. Well, okay.
So moving on, Abraham Avenue project. We talked a little bit about that. You know, that's clumped in with our large $4 million package, Looking Glass Creek Pump Station. If you look over at the map, it's over in this area here. You've got a pump station. It's circled in black over there.
Very, isn't that like only 10 or 15 years old?
Very, go ahead, sorry.
You want to take the phone? Looking Glass Creek Pump Station.
It fosters a fair amount of animosity, okay?
In our humble opinion, it's, well, let's just say it needs to be completely updated and remodeled, and it's not, doesn't meet any requirements. There's no flow meter to it. There's no on-site generator. We have to tug one in there. Right now, during this power, we have no standby generator because we lost the main breaker to the station, and we actually had to pump out of it, out of the manhole, because we had no power to it. So that's another one. Some of these lists, by the way, if council recalls, we had those in our budget to do preliminary engineering to. Looking Glass Creek was one of them. But we went out for bid for a project we're doing now, so all of our... Just a little bit of information, because you guys will see it when we do budget again. You'll see these again. We had to use off monies to pay for the budget or the project we're doing now. So these would be typically in hopper modes. We'd be doing preliminary engineering. None of this happened. So look, all these other ones will be popping up again. So we're about 1.5 to 2 years behind.
So now, you're saying that the Looking Glass pump station wasn't installed correctly, wasn't put in correctly?
I think it was installed correctly, but there's 2 10-horse pumps in there. It was sized for a certain amount of flow.
Yeah.
So now the subdivision is building out. We're actually looking at picking up the pump stations on Brockway. So we have, there's a size component to this thing. There's a flow component to it. And then it has to meet certain requirements. Right. And so we have some unknowns to that.
Severely undersized, and in, yeah, not even accounting for the additional development and the build out of infill lots over there, additional homes. It's just, you know, it'll be one that we have to address, and it's part of the 5-year purview that we really need to look at. That's why it's kind of part of that list. The Terracotta line over by Newton, a really old line, not as bad shape as we thought, but still needs to be addressed within that time frame. The Highway 99 Oak Street to Thompson. You know, Public Works has done a good job of analyzing this and coming up with solutions, but it's just finding the monies, it's finding how to do the project and how to do some creative accounting. I know that when Public Works did that project over off of Thompson, you know, some of this stuff, that we wish we could always continue and we could just, you know, do all of it, and especially what you discover. If you discover when you're down there something bad, that you can just continue. We'd love to have the money to keep doing that, but you know, the monies are what they are, and at some point we got to stop, even if we discover it. So, and then of course the siphon replacement project, a huge one that's really been spearheaded by Public Works in a very advantageous way. This will be a crowning achievement for the city. It's past its useful life. It's not, and we've talked about this before lots of times. This is all the wastewater for the city goes through those pipes, mm-hmm, from the siphon over. So that's going to be a big deal. But we are just completing our funding package on that, so we really see light at the end of the tunnel in terms of being able to finance that replacement of that project. We got some aerials for you. Sean, as part of his evaluation, did some good drone footage. So some of those projects we just talked about, and Andy or Megan, chip in here whenever you want.
Can everyone see okay?
You see that Edgewood line needs to be put in there. There's evergreen down there. You know, if you travel further to the south, it's, you know, right down there past that line. It's outside of city limits as you pass evergreen. So, but the rest of that, that, I mean, that's in. That's in the corporate limits. And in a perfect world, we want to be supplying them with the gravity main line so they can all sub in. And we don't have to worry about any kind of additional future cases like Andy was mentioning in terms of step systems. Those step systems are, go ahead.
So are all of those in that area, would they all, are they all evidently, can they all be gravity flow? I mean, there's no impediments to make by gravity flow, is there?
We're pretty calm, we can go gravity. Alan, that's one thing that was part of our preliminary design work is to say, okay, what's our options here?
That's the goal,
gravity. And then just to throw in there behind that little white pickup, that's Megan's truck, I think, or whatever. There's a manhole right there that intersecting. That's about, what is it, 3 feet deep there?
Yeah.
About 3 feet deep. And then from there, it's grabbed, but all that evergreen line, that's all that, it's on the map up there. That's all bad, too.
Yeah, down here. Mm-hmm. All bad. Go ahead.
Anyway,
so transitioning, this is the siphon. This is the old pathway and the new pathway. This is looking to the north on the south side of the river. That's all, you know, the same thing. You got the plant up to the northwest, and you got, the plant to the south, which you're looking to the south there. So you got the new, it says new inverted siphon pathway, which, it's the... a lot less from A to B. It's a more of a straight point. Part of our permitting required that. We've got to have the least effect on aquatic and plant life as possible, which means a straight line under the river. So our existing inverted siphon line, where you see that it is, it's, obviously we'll keep that in case we need it in the future, but the new line will go in the new location.
Are they going to bore underneath the river for that?
Oh, yeah. It's a... okay. Andy can talk on it. He's the expert, but that'll be a big boring project under there. As you can see, Scene got some really good, and a couple of you counselors were just out here, the mayor and the Counselor Wiggins. So you got a real visual on what the situation is out there. Chris and his crew do a good job of keeping up with that, but the plant can't be forgotten. It's part of all of this. Everything ends there, so, it's part of the conversation. So this is our Abraham line. Andy, do you want to talk on this one?
AC5. That's a huge source of INI, basically, in a nutshell. Yeah. It's inflow infiltration. Chris can speak on that. The whole goal is to keep the water out of the sewer, keeps the dollars down, and that's the whole thing we need to keep rooted on. For ultimately, it's to save money. I know it's kind of an oxymoron, right? You got to spend $20 million to save, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it gets worse and worse and worse. We all know it.
We have a creek right there next to it.
Yeah.
Isn't that part of that considered wetland anymore? I don't know anymore.
Well, if you're looking to the top left, that's the up in this area. Thank you, Cindy. Up in this area here, you're getting into that property that was tentatively approved for an 89 space RV park. There was some nominal wetland activity located on that property, but this line is considered, it goes through private property. Mm-hmm. It's from out to the north and then goes up, and then line goes all up, goes into the elephant hole. But you notice we got the line that goes all the way down 42, goes down to the high school, and that's a different animal. That whole thing's got to be replaced. Now, with this package, this funding package, we've only got a certain amount bursting in different sorts. It's such a significant source of INI, like Andy mentioned. We talked about this before. We're hoping to see a downtick in flow numbers right away when we get that pipe replaced, that trunk line out there. But in the future, ODOT's going to be doing some work out here, and we're just going to have to get creative at that time. They got some stuff opened up and maybe piggyback off something. Because that's got to be done too, but it's not part of this project. let me know if I'm speaking out of line.
How many feet is that?
That's miles.
Miles?
Miles.
Ugh.
So the just sort of a tidbit of information, the council recalls on the end of that burst line where it kind of dogs straight and then runs towards the east. That's the one that we caught with the AC pipe exposed because that's a drainage ditch through there. That's the one Megan on one of her inspections out walking that field goes, hey, this doesn't look right. and there was a AC sewer main exposed. Over time, water is very powerful and very,
yeah,
has a lot of snort to it, the erosion control. So we have an AC pipe down there that
is that the one that's sticking out of the ground?
Well, we had a contractor come in. We've got riprap around it, protect it, but it's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's a Band-Aid. The whole bank is washing out. So we have a main line down there. So that's another one of those, well, that'd be nice to do. No, it ain't going to be nice. We're doing it. It's going to happen.
When you do this, you're going to burst that whole line. Okay, so when you put your new line in, are you going to come back this way?
We have to stay per requirements. We have to stay in that existing footprint. If we get out of it, it triggers a whole other can of worms. And we can't trigger any more worms with DEQ and federal agencies, funding agencies, because you open up all these...
You open up, you want to relocate that thing. It's going to open up a lot of it. It's going to make the project quite a bit more expensive.
I would just think that, you know, bringing it in away from the riverbank would be, you know, something that they would appreciate.
Mm-hmm. You would think so, wouldn't you?
Well, apparently not.
Another environmental impact.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, there's mice and stuff live out there. There's little bugs and stuff that we have to. We have to look out for.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So the one underneath the bridge replaced, the part of that line underneath the bridge is already been replaced.
Just the hangers.
Just the hangers.
We had new hangers to hang our ducts along.
That's right.
Just new hangers. Not just new hangers, because that's it. By golly. But everything around is bad. I mean, we've discovered that already. Megan can talk on that one. But like I said, I don't believe in doom and gloom, but we believe in sharing with out there. That's what we discovered. Here's what's going on. We are addressing them. And that's what we're going to do.
So when the ODOT works on that bridge, they're going to redo our sewer?
No.
No. We have to.
We pay for it.
That's on us. This is where it continues, kind of jogs
that's
around.
That's their stuff, yeah.
Yeah, this is where it jogs around that Rosewood Mobile Home Park. But that you can see, as Andy mentioned, this is a long line, this Abraham line, that eventually terminates into what we call the elephant hole up there. And it'll be a monster project, but it's work that has to be committed.
How's it going to impact the people there that live there? Because it looks like it's going underneath a couple of houses, too.
Well, it's a bursting project.
What do you mean by bursting?
It's where it is. We're pulling it through subgrade. We're pulling that polyethylene pipe through and...
We're actually going to get open trench, Dave. Good question. That's, you know, as you recall, we've already took care of the elephant hole to the little dog leg there, that section. That's been bursted. That's all new. So now to get away from that potential problem, which it is, because how do you dig up underneath there, right? You can't. So if you burst it, you can't access it. So we're going to open trench it from there down Abraham to get back to the mayor's point of why can't we, well, we can't here because we got some control. So we'll get this thing up with mantles, we can access it on Abraham, and then reconnect there behind that white Ford pickup that's parked down there.
I apologize, I misspoke on that. Yeah, this so is that's, a variation.
But that's one of the, we talked about.
Truck again?
It's probably Megan's truck, yeah, she's up. She's out working the field, that's what she does.
Okay, so you're going to bring it down Abraham instead of
that's the plan.
The park?
Yeah, then only have to burst straight up to an intersecting manhole off Matthew. So that way we won't have to be back, because we can't get back in there, because when we allowed this years ago, we can't get in there. You can't.
No.
There's only like, what is there, a foot or 2 feet? Yeah. There's a manhole behind somebody's houses, so you can't do anything with it. You can't get to it. We have an easement, but what good does an easement do? I'm going to move somebody's house to get to the, right, to the sewer underneath it. That ain't going to happen.
We knew it was going to grow like that.
The That's right. Nobody knew. That's right.
It's just that we
didn't know. No. All that grew up and filled up.
Okay.
Here's it again. This is looking down Abraham. 42 going up to the high school. You'll see the high school is all the way up at the top of that picture on the left-hand side. The co-op being on the right-hand side, it's a fairly long line. And then it travels to the north when it goes on to private property. On the picture on the left-hand side, you look on the right-hand side of that picture where the Abraham line kind of trails off. That's where it kind of turns remote and goes into private property. And we did a land use application again on that for an RV park, and as part of a condition, it required the filing of an easement to dedicate a certain area so that we can continue to get in there and maintain and do a project like this if needed. Go ahead. So this is that terracotta line over off Newton, correct?
It is.
And this is a fun one because it's on the western end or the back end of these lots. We've had a couple of these now over the city, a few of them now. And for whatever reason, when someone drew this up, they thought, hey, we'll put the sewer line on the back end with no inclination in the future. How are you going to maintain it? How are you going to get to it? That's part of the problem. So with this one and being, kind of a specialized old pipe being terracotta, it's a situation where it's become, but go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing at the terracotta part. I was like, oh my God, somebody really thought that one through.
Well, something, because now we're getting to the point with these projects, you can make, like, the boss mentioned terracotta. Everybody knows what he's talking about. Oh yeah, it's that terracotta line. How many people would even, that's why I chuckled to this line.
Well, we've talked about this for a while, and I got to tell you, my wife was like, hey, let's wear terracotta color at the wedding. I said, no, we're not doing that. No way. I get fiery when we start talking. Anyway, it's a problem, and it's just another thing we got to get addressed. And it's part of that 5-year purview that we were looking at.
And that's going underneath another house, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough area there, Dave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough area.
It is. It's a very, very tough on that second house. Yeah.
So this is, this slide might make your head swim a little, so let me explain it. This is the breakdown of what our engineer used in order to calculate the full rate study. This is what we call a sandbox. So, it's a fluid process. You're playing around that sandbox. A lot of those items in red on the left-hand side are the ones that showed up as part of the 5-year purview or 5-year capital improvement program. On the bottom, a lot of the budgetary information was taken and put in there just to give you a viable idea. Sorry if you want to go to the top. Yeah. So you got dates at the top projected, starting 2023-2024, and then it has a spread going out. And you got different increments that are filled in there based on the fulfilling of the projects in any given year. You'll notice down there at the bottom, you'll see a number on there where it's 26-27, where there's a number of those projects that are labeled as construction, because the rate study anticipates hopefully carrying them out in that given fiscal year. But it's a really fluid process because there's so many things to factor into this, and there's a lot of financial diligence that can change in a couple of fiscal years. There's also the factoring in of additional grant funding that we might be able to alleviate what we have to use in our coffers in order to address these projects in any given year.
I know this is a really off place to put this in here, but isn't this a good reason to address that we need the money for? Is to be able to keep the cost of people's sewer rates going up in the future? I mean, we're going to have to take them up. Yes, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have added income, will it make it not so bad?
It stabilizes the program and ensures that you're able to do the project so you're not paying double or triple in an emergency capacity. So, yes. And if we had a bad enough issue here at the plant, DEQ would step in. But what are they going to change your rate or make you change your rates for to do that?
Well, yeah.
So the city becomes collateral damage, and you get taken out of the driver's seat with this process. So that's what this does. It maps out a process to do exactly that. So
yeah.
You're forward moving, and you're making adjustments to address whatever's happening at the time or what we need to do at the time. So now, you know, things have hit the wall. We didn't do things for a while.
Yeah.
So now we got a collection of stuff. And
yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. So we have projected expenses and resources in here. We don't necessarily need to spend a lot of time unpacking this. But again, Sean did a good job of packing over, you know, the financial diligence. He took it right out of our budget during that given year and tried to address some of the expenditures required in the all the way out to 28-29, which would fulfill that five-year capital improvement program. We can go over this. We could spend a lot of time on this if we needed to.
Yeah, we could.
But go ahead to the next
slide. The next slide, okay.
So where we really kind of want to live is how he factored in this data. This is your comparable cities and what they charge, not just in wastewater, but with domestic water.
Mm-hmm.
So for the total across the board, now given, this doesn't factor in our number with our recent increase of $7. We're actually at 53. However, I don't believe any of these other ones, to my knowledge, have changed. We put Green Area Water and Sanitary Authority in there, even though they are not an incorporated jurisdiction. They're under the jurisdiction of Douglas County. So, and they're not, being a district, they're not limited by corporate limits, so their district boundary and their users are going to be a lot higher. Therefore, their revenues are going to be a lot more. And because of that, they have more of the ability to keep their rates down if they choose. However, I do know that they're kicking around doing the same thing of what we've been doing in a lot of other jurisdictions.
Don't they share with us?
The plant, yes.
The plant, mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't they...
Yes. Yes, indeed.
They get their half. Which they have way more people than we do,
mm-hmm.
And theirs are lower.
$38. Yeah, theirs are lower.
Yeah, county work versus the city.
More people to divide the cost.
County versus the city.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice some of these jurisdictional bodies, their population range from 2,500 clear up to 11,000. Still used them in a comparable capacity. None of them, except for Myrtle Point, when we did this, were below $60. Harrisburg being clear up to $97.55, which we could constitute that as a little bit substantial here. But ranging in the 60s, this rate study determined by the empirical data that we needed to be at $65 yesterday as of July of this past fiscal year, right? So that's what it says. You'll notice that the majority of the jurisdictions are within that 60 range already, and they're hovering around that. I can't speak for the water. Again, they're on an ORS 261 district, and they function similar to, well, how Gaza does as well. But
we're at 62 now.
We're at 53 now. For this does not include the other fees and the $8 public safety fee and the plant upgrade fee and transportation and storm. I think our end bill is $69, isn't
it?
It
is.
I just started paying mine, so
yes. Why?
850 for a step. Yeah, he's on a special program.
So what do we need to bring that? We need to bring this up $5 more.
Go ahead. You can continue.
Six?
Go ahead. So this was the bill, and then go ahead and continue again. So in conclusion, and in answer to your question,
please.
Yeah. Here's your bill as it stands. It's got the $8 public safety fee, plant upgrade fee, storm and transportation are both $1. And at the time that we did this, it was $46 for the sewer. Now it's $53. So it's a $69 straight fee.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
In conclusion, of course, the city assesses 53 like we discussed. The data shows what we attached with your packet was not just this presentation, but the actual report done with the analytical data. That shows a schedule, and it shows that we should be at 65 already in order to tackle some of these high severity projects, or all of them. The city also needs to account for inflation and increased construction costs over the coming years if you determine that you want to stagger it in a specific amount. Go ahead. So our recommendation being at the top, beginning July 1, we stay on schedule. We're behind schedule, but we try to get back on schedule and make that $6 increase. It's painful. It's excruciating. Again, if we did two, if we did three, if we did something that is aside from our blueprint or our vehicle, which is our rate study that our engineer dictated, then it could be detrimental in terms of our inherent costs and an emergency capacity. So there's that, and there's the risk that you take on waiting and the increased costs that you're going to pay on that. And all of those things considered, it's our very strong recommendation that we try to get back on schedule. And over the course of the next month or so, we use the sewer bill to introduce material explaining the situation to all the citizens, also offering their ability over the course of the next 3 or 4 months to come down and participate in council meetings, ask questions on this, request this documentation. We do an education campaign in that regard, but we also inform them well in advance that we are looking at and trying to flush out all options in order to keep up on schedule at the least expense possible to the public. But this is how we should proceed by our recommendation and by the city engineer's recommendation.
So this is what the council voted on, the 655 or 667?
The council voted in an individual capacity by virtue of resolution. So the first one was five. The second one was seven. And they just did it individually by resolution. And then the next increase, based on the purview of the previous mayor, was going to be something in concert of this. We're $12 deficient, so you got to do another six and a six at some point.
Can we do a... when does the second six have to go through?
Our recommendation is not any later than July 1st of 2026. So you wait another fiscal year and you do an additional...
Okay, so what is... if you're looking at what? 6 and 12... $90?
Another $12 to it. So add 12 to 69.
$81.
We're trying to get...
$81.
$81 for the total bill, but $65 for the sewer aspect. The magic number is $65, and just for the sewer element.
Okay, so...
I think your general citizen's going to look at the overall. They're going to look at $81.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You mentioned...
point taken.
You mentioned getting the news out there. I love that feedback on this. The feedback that I've heard before taking this role, during taking this role, and after taking this role has been more communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody in this room can agree.
Mm-hmm.
You just come to this meeting. But the reality is we have working families,
mm-hmm.
and dedicated families that don't have time to come here. How are you planning to communicate this?
Sure, that's a good question. We have to use all of our resources available. We are very excited to be able to roll out a new website that'll have features in that regard. Using that and as a platform to educate the public. Also, that sewer bill, we've got Stephen Johnson here. He's had a newsletter going out in the sewer bill frequently the past few months. We utilize that make sure it gets to everyone with the hope that they look at that material. And we don't just do it once, but we try to do it two, three times over again. And you do two things in this. Explain the entirety of the bill, explain what the detriment is here, but also encourage them to come out. to public meetings so that they can be further educated on what we've got. Great citizens here. Typically, if we explain it and offer that information, they usually understand.
We've got 6 months. We can put it in the bill every month for six
certainly.
Months.
Certainly.
Yeah. So that people will be aware. You know, and don't go into the big old long, this is what, this. This is what we're doing, and this is why we're doing it.
A one pager. After that, exactly. You lose people.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, right. Two yeah. paragraphs and people are done.
Right.
I mean, so that's a fabulous idea.
I love what Steve's doing. That's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, new website sounds perfect. What's our opinion on getting this on Facebook? Because, I mean, that's where the citizens,
that's where the citizens
are. That's where right. we're going to be. That's where we're going to see the most.
We don't have a city Facebook page, do we, Cindy?
Yeah.
We don't have a platform in that regard, but it's certainly something. The social media arena is a good way of getting it out there. And I know they have a tool on Facebook where you don't have to be a friend. You can still kick it out to everyone in the area. So that is certainly something we can, you know, explore. Depending on if we have a certain demographic here that may not utilize social media platforms. So we might want to use the best one that's frequently used.
Yeah, absolutely. Facebook.
Use both.
I think we
already
did.
Yeah.
But
so,
we've got Steve's letter going
out.
That's going to hit the folks that want to receive it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
No, we've got
the website.
Oh, I'm sorry. We've tried to reach you if you didn't get the message.
We're going
to
cover a lot of people.
Sure have.
We're going to cover a lot of folks. And the big thing, too, is motivating folks to come out. Because if we can get them in the council chamber and we can share this information and do a question and answer form, even do another workshop on it, and just try to exhaust all efforts for that education campaign. It's absolutely the.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't hear you down there. I thought you had to fly above.
Oh, you're totally fine.
But shouldn't that letter come out maybe from the office of the mayor, as it was done in the past?
What are the thoughts on that?
On the letter in the sewer?
I'm not a big blow-my-horn person.
Well,
city administrator knows the numbers better than I.
Right, but I'm saying he could write it for you, and then you just sign it. Because it should be coming probably from the person, you know, the mayor that you sign everything else. I'm just wondering, that's all, because it makes a lot of sense coming directly from the mayor.
Obviously, I didn't do it last week, Steve, and I apologize. I'm not big on, you know,
names.
Well, it's not that I'm not big on names. We're going to do a lot, and I'm more of an in-person, jump out there and be there. I've tried to be a part of and introduce to everybody that I'm here, and I'm here to talk with. All you have to do is call me. I'm not a letter writer person.
I'm saying that he could write the letter for you, and all you have to do is sign it.
I will tell you that from a staff perspective, as long as the public is being educated on this and they're offered a platform to come out and make comment, I'm not sure I care where it comes from.
I don't care where it comes from.
It doesn't have to have the mayor's name.
It doesn't have to come from me. I think the city administrator and everybody on that little board right there can put their names on it, because they're the ones that are going to have more information.
Well, it's going to come from the council.
Yeah.
Well, it is going to come from the council, but it's for everybody. It's the city of Winston, council, mayor, you know, it's all of us. This is what we have to do. This is what we're going to do. This is what we want you to know that's going to happen before it happens. We're giving you plenty of time to hear about it, to come and talk to us about it. Because I remember when it went up last time, I think you had a lot of people show up. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we want several months, lots of people can show up. That way, you know, everybody can talk about
educated and they won't be telling stories.
Not waiting for that last minute, oh, it's June, we're going to do this next month. No, I don't want that. I want starting next month. This is what we have to do.
I agree with you on that. What I was talking about is like March or April to send out a letter.
I want one in February.
Well, I'm okay with that too.
Because it hasn't come out yet.
Is it
too late, Steve?
No, I don't think so.
Is it too late to put the sewer thing in?
You got to talk to us.
Did
2 to 3 days.
We would do this independently, not with the newsletter. We would do it in, so it's not too late now.
Okay.
We will start that roll. I really appreciate the council exploring our questions on this and entertaining our presentation. You know, I'm sure you envisioned some of this decision making when you ran your campaigns and your platforms in that regard, or went in for the appointment. It's, we don't do it because it's easy. We do it because it's hard and it needs to be done, and it's imperative. And looking at the condition, this stuff is more or less out of sight, out of mind, because it's subgrade. Not thinking about it. It's, you know, like we say, just keep flushing our toilet, right? But these are the hard decisions, and it's really important.
Yeah.
Really important that we continue to look at it. So we
You know, and it's one of those things that not only is the sewer going up, hello, but then our water is going up. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, together everybody just kind of goes into fight mode and says, I don't want to, but you can't have it for free. It has to be done. And if we have other sources of revenue, we can do other things and make it not so expensive.
$30,000 isn't going to make any difference in a bill like this.
You're right.
You never know.
You're talking about how many millions of dollars all total?
20.
We're talking, our running total without the plant is $26 million and change, I think, is where our rate study amount
ended. We build on that $6 million there.
And in the previous, every little bit helps in regard. If we're looking at $58,000-$60,000, that might be a position at Public Works. It might be, you know, something that the city can utilize in some direction to benefit us further. So however little or big, it's just looking at what's on the table and taking advantage of that. So thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
You
very much.
Thanks.
That's
your part of the country.
Oh, the other one?
That's your part of the country.
Yes, okay. New business? Anybody have any? Non-agenda items from the council.
I have one non-agenda item.
You do?
I do. It was not on the agenda because I didn't tell Cindy about it.
Oh.
The Winston Library Board met on January 8th, and they had a goal setting session. And it was a very short meeting, so it's not going to take any long. They wanted to advertise library as open and offering programs and services. These are goals that they want for 24-25.
Mm-hmm.
Continue the summer reading program. Continue to encourage patrons to recommend books and other materials to purchase. Increase the CD audio book collection because they are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Recruit volunteers to staff the library and assist during special events. Support the library director, who's doing a great job. Continuing with the Imagination Library support, that's probably part of it. Pursue grant donations from fundraisers to support future projects and support UCLA's Ready Readers effort, which is going ongoing at UCLA. Gives a grant every year. Short meeting, but those are things that they discussed.
I know the CDs, they're very popular for people that can't see anymore, and they want the books.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also the large print books.
Mm-hmm. Start buying them myself.
That's all I need.
Upcoming agenda items.
Thank you, Mayor. We have our council meeting on February 3rd, which will
mm-hmm.
be a presentation and a essentially a, it's a regular council meeting, but we will be talking about the chamber contract details, as well as Shannon Nelson and Jessica Batchelor will be here from the chamber and from the Sutherland Chamber to offer information on the Main Street program and the Sutherland Hub that's being created that can offer additional resources and grants and funding to our commercial district, our commercial property owners. And then, of course, February 15, community goal setting session, 11 a.m., community center.
I noticed at 5:30, you know, we normally meet at 6 o'clock. Is there, that we do we need an extra half hour?
We met at 5:30 because there's so much with the chamber that was going to end the Main Street program.
We were going to do that as a workshop, but I think at the behest of a previous admonishment on when we were talking about rec marijuana facilities, we want to continue to update you and provide that information. Okay. We'll have to do that in a regular council session. So that'll likely be at 7 and a regular council meeting.
So we're still meeting at 5:30 then?
No, at 7.
For the workshop on February 3rd?
Right.
We're not having it.
It's a regular council meeting at 7.
Because, right.
Okay, so...
because you admonish staff to look more into recreational marijuana.
Okay.
So if we did a workshop, we could only talk about that one item. We wouldn't be able to talk about
so
that.
So we're not meeting at 5:30 then?
We're meeting at 7.
At 7.
So,
okay, so that we can scratch out that February 3rd.
Adjustment to the agenda on the fly. Yes.
Right.
My apologies.
Okay. It's February 3rd still. It's just at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Check copies are in here. I have a question for you, Mr. Sardi.
Sure.
You had a check in here to Motorola. I thought you said you weren't going to pay them anymore until you got your radios.
So the equipment that I have at the station, you paid for. The equipment I don't have, you did not pay for.
So we have equipment here, but we just don't have equipment for the cars?
Yeah, we got like a part of it. So the equipment we have, we can't use.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
No, it all makes sense.
Okay. Park Board, February 11th. Economic Development, February 12th at noon. City Hall. Goal setting, this is going to be exciting, February 15th at 11 at the Community Center. President's Day. President's Day, the city offices are closed. And then again, a city council meeting on February 18th. And is there an executive session?
None, Your Honor.
Right on. Let's adjourn. Thank you, everybody, for coming up.
8:30. Meeting adjourned.